You're listening to KBOO in Portland, 90.7 FM. Stay tuned for more of the Africa Special as part of our fall membership drive. Next is a special panel on coltan, cell phones, and what they have to do with the crisis in the Congo.
Africa's dying. This place is such a mess, and no one gives a heck. It's really frightening. Oh, if you're listening, Abuti, you better run as fast as you can, 'cause she's dying. And no one gives a damn. Western man, he goes where he wants, he does what he likes, and he takes what he can. Oh, he's running with the devil, and he's running.
The deadliest conflict since World War II. More than 5 million people have died in the past decade, yet it goes virtually unnoticed and unreported in the United States. The conflict is in the Democratic Republic of Congo in Central Africa. At its heart are the natural resources found in Congo and multinational corporations that extract them. The prospects for peace have slightly improved. A peace accord was just signed in Congo's eastern Kivu provinces. But without a comprehensive truth and reconciliation process for the entire country and a renegotiation of all mining contracts, the suffering will undoubtedly continue. In its latest Congo mortality report, the International Rescue Committee found that a stunning 5.4 million excess deaths have occurred in Congo since 1998. These are deaths beyond those that would normally occur. In other words, a loss of life on the scale of September 11th every 2 days in a country whose population is one-sixth our own. Just a little history. After supporting the Allies in World War II, Congo gained independence and elected Patrice Lumumba, a progressive Pan-Africanist, as prime minister in 1960. He was assassinated soon after in a plot involving the CIA. The U.S. installed and supported Mobutu Sese Seko, who ruled tyrannically for more than 30 years, plundering the nation. Since his death, Congo has seen war from 1996 to 2002, provoked by invasions by neighboring Rwanda and Uganda and ongoing conflict since then. The United Nations has issued several reports that are highly critical of illegal corporate exploitation of the Congo's minerals. A Congolese government review of more than 60 mining contracts call for their renegotiation or outright cancellation. 80% of the population live on 30 cents a day or less, with billions of dollars going out the back door and into the pockets of mining companies. One of the most important resources mined in the Congo is coltan, used mainly in cell phones and small electronic devices. I want to go to a clip from a panel that was given this past weekend at the E-Convergence about what is coltan and its significance in the Congo conflict.
Coltan is a mineral of which is made up of a couple elements. Niobium is one of them. Tantalum is another. Niobium and tantalum are about 78, 80 on the atomic table, so they're kind of high up there. They have very high melting points, so the name tantalum comes from the god Tantalus, isn't that it? And it's because you can't reach up here for the food or down there for the drink, but it's because it's a very difficult mineral to deal with. But it is the essence of, or it's used for capacitors that modulate electricity that goes through the cell phones, allows for miniaturization and long battery life. It's an Africa-wide war, and the Congo just happens to be the site of it. So over the last 10 years, you have armies from Angola, Zimbabwe, Sudan, all the neighboring countries, some countries that don't even have a border with Congo, sending troops there for some premise, but actually helping extract minerals besides coltan, the usual copper, gold, cobalt, etc. So it's the Congo has a problem, but the problem is it doesn't really have a government. They're in the western part of the country. The eastern part is a free-for-all, and right now mostly controlled by Rwanda and Uganda.
There's an amazing article I also posted on my site. I posted all my favorite articles on my website that just went up yesterday. So highly recommend it, about how much the government of Congo and Rwanda have made off of mineral exports in the conflict. So, like, for instance, the government of Rwanda exported, I can't remember the figure, it was something like 20 or 30 times the amount of tin that they could possibly produce with their mines within their borders within a six-month period. So there's no question that it's coming from Congo, and they claim that they're in Congo to protect the people, you know, from the FDLR, or, you know, but they're in areas where the FDLR don't exist, but they're at the mining sites. So these governments, and I would also point out, the Rwandan government and the Congolese government are both heavily dependent on foreign aid. But we don't set any kind of standards or requirements. Why can't we track that? It doesn't make sense. If it's obvious that they're taking minerals from Congo, if we're really going to put pressure on them, you know, we have that leverage. We give Congo so much money every year, and Rwanda couldn't exist without the foreign aid that pours in. So if we just put a little bit of pressure on those governments that we have great relationships with, that could go miles towards solving the problem.
Give her the singer, give her the singer.